providence and judgment, he means a lot more than just the words. It really means the created order, and the judgment is, in a way, all the forms and functions of the created order, and the providence is God's presence through all of that. Those are the five general contemplations. But we are now trying to move through the four transformations, right? From praxis to dispassion, from dispassion to first natural contemplation, from first natural contemplation to second, and then finally to the vision of God, the divine vision. I realize this is a vast panorama of the life of prayer, what it can mean. But it's important, I think, that we have that, so that that we have in our minds, so that we act in humility. We recognize that without God, none of this is possible. So we're safe as long as we start with simplicity and humility, meekness and humility. We are safe. Remember the five key principles I said in two of watchfulness, of sobriety. We struggle for sobriety. Sobriety is a key to prayer and contemplation. And sobriety consists in, if you had to say them, the five basic principles. Humility. Start with humility. There's no sobriety without humility. Then two is attention. No prayer can happen without active, real attention. Three, rebuttal. Rebuttal is the warfare. Two is attention. And three is rebuttal, in the sense that the fathers are using it. That is to say, it is using the power of righteous anger in the only way it's supposed to be intended. The only way that anger is meant to be used is to repel the temptations and the demons and the demonic world. Anything that gets in the way, a thought, an impulse, anything that gets in the way of prayer. You repel it. You rebut it. Now, rebuttal is a kind of a word. It's an act. It's an act of word. It's an act of saying, "Be gone. Get thee behind me, Satan." Whatever you might say, you can. It just might be turning away from it. And then the fourth one of the fourth principle of sobriety is invocation. And that's where the Jesus Prayer comes in. The Jesus Prayer is the invocation. And we want to make that prayer permanent. And we want to make that prayer not only permanent, but in the heart. And there's a big difference between saying a prayer and an invocation. An invocation is saying the Jesus Prayer with conscious attention, with full awareness, as much as you can have at the moment, that you are invoking the divine name, the name that by which we know God incarnate. The name without which no one will be saved. That name. The name that is our salvation. That's an invocation. And then the final one, R, is the remembrance. Remembrance of death. Which leads to remembrance of God. Without the remembrance of death, that is to say, without a conscious awareness of yourself as a person who is here, now, alive, but is facing death. That's what that means. It's not, "Oh my God, I'm going to die." It's more like being aware of the simple miracle of your own existence. And as soon as you're aware of the simple miracle of your own existence, that is a gift of God. And then that means that you are aware of that before you is death and the judgment. And that will give wings to your prayer, but it also will give fervor, vitality, strength to it. Remembrance of death will make your attention much more active. When you are sitting, you know, cross-legged in front of, or just sitting down cross-legged, just sort of relaxing, that's one thing. But if you were in a raft traveling down a rapids heading toward a 300-foot-long waterfall, you would be attentive. You would be looking for what you could grab onto, where you could get out of the boat. You would be as attentive as you could be. You would be alive then. You know, see, that's the kind of attention that remembrance of death is intended to invoke. Because if we really were in God's presence, if suddenly God were fully present to you, that's the kind of attention you would have. You would be blown away, right? You would be experiencing the love and the light of God, and it would be so powerful that it would be beyond our feeble capacity, you know, to hold. And you would say, like St. Simeon the New Theologian or others who have said, you know, I can't take anymore, Lord, you know, I just can't take anymore. Take it away a little while. You know, just give me a chance to breathe. That's the reality of God. That's what we're seeking. Are we getting near the hour?
Oh, we're past.
Oh, we really are? Oh, I've... Okay. All right. There's so much more. Well, let me just close then.
You don't have anybody for January.
That's right. Well, every 2 months we could continue. All right. Well, then let me just end. And I'll definitely think about January. Because much more needs to be said on this. Let me end with a prayer. This is from the second collection of homilies of St. Isaac the Syrian, which was only recently discovered in the Bodleian Library. And this is from homily number 10. And this is his prayer. And this is my end of my talk. O Christ, fountainhead of life, make me worthy to taste of you, so that my eyes may grow light. O compassion and mercy, who have been sent to the world, O hope of creation, cause me to taste of the delight of your hope, so that I may be blind as far as this world is concerned, but be illumined in spirit. And through your love, may my life become inebriated, so as to forget the world and its affairs. May we be captivated and led to you through our minds, as we hold converse with your great splendor. Do not let the world captivate us through harmful converse with it. Rather, make us worthy to serve before you with attentiveness, in accordance with your will, and may we praise you in an untroubled fashion, in great peace at all times. Grant us, O Lord, a mouth filled with the praise of you, and a mind too which bears suffering. Make our understanding resplendent with the purity that cleanses the emotions, so that we may be an acceptable sacrifice for you, and one without blemish at all times of our prayer. Cause your hidden power to dwell in us, so that the senses of our souls may be strengthened, in order that our soul may mystically strike up a song filled with wonder. And thus may we sing praise at every moment with the hallelujahs of the watchers on high in honor of the might of your being. And as though in heaven, may we bear on our hidden limbs the sanctification of your divinity. May we give thanks with all your saints and worship your great name without ever being sated, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, glorious in nature for ages and ages. Amen.
Thank you very much. Well, I hate to not take a few questions, so if there's a... Seriously, we don't have anybody for January.
All right, you're on.
All right, great. We have somebody for January. All right, wonderful. Speaking of which, starting in January, which I hope most of you saw this in the newsletter, we are moving to the second Sunday of the month instead of the first, because the first Sunday seems to be problematic for various reasons. So anyway, December is still going to be the first Sunday, and starting in January, it'll be the second Sunday. So, a few questions. You're not allowed to ask questions that take an hour to answer.
I'll try to.
Of course, you don't know any questions that don't take an hour to answer. Paul?
It's not a question, it's just a brief comment. I think last time one of the questions was that somebody who had trouble getting along with someone else, and you suggested that that person pray to your guardian angel to ask that person's guardian angel.
Yes, yeah.
It was you, correct?
Yes, right.
So we've had a very difficult neighbor for 5.5 years. When we moved in, we got off on the wrong foot. And we've had a property line dispute, and there were attorneys involved and surveyors, and there was this ugly old tree that was dying and it had to fall over, and she didn't want to move it. And so it was the day or two after you spoke, and in my morning prayers, I asked my guardian angel to talk to her guardian angel, and by golly, within 2 or 3 days, she just totally mellowed.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. That's a good witness.
I'm a surveyor and a civil engineer. I spent since age 13, I was surveying. And those almost never end that way. Yeah. She left the whole career for me on surveying. And in 2 days, I've almost never heard of it. I've never heard of it.
It made me think that there is a chance for world peace.
Yeah. There's a lot of angels that want it.
Okay, any questions? Barbara?
I think I understood that you were saying that when we might experience the presence of God in prayer, that we could really feel suddenly like it's too full and we're going to burst and we have to say, please, that's enough.
Yeah.
I need to back off. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
John?
How far up the ladder of ascent does an average garden variety sinner have of getting?
Halfway.
I'm about a 3, and you know, I might go up 2 or 3, but I'm back down again.
The average garden variety sinner is meant to experience union with God. So, I mean,
at any level.
At any level. But as soon as you experience the slight taste of it, it's one step up. You suddenly get to be less than average. You know.
Well, to look at that from a different perspective, since most of us are still, you know, struggling with our passions or failing to struggle with our passions, you know, what would you say, you know, what's the take home, yeah, like the, what do you call it, the homework? What's the homework from all this?
I think the homework is this. To realize that we're called to prayer, and that prayer is what we essentially are. It is our word. It is the word that each one of us is. That's what prayer is. And it doesn't matter, and this is what Christ's incarnation, it doesn't matter where you are on the ladder as a garden variety sinner. What matters is the willingness to pay attention, the willingness to struggle interiorly with your self-image. If one can be aware that one's self-image, what you think you are, is not who you really are, but it's the aggregation and collection of all the memories and experiences you've had, likes and dislikes, and all of that, that has gone into a kind of identity that you have made of yourself. And that God has an image of you. You are God's image, but God has an image of you. So the thing to do is to is to try to do, to act in an attentive way, in a conscious way, according to God's image of you. To try to become a little closer to what God wants, intends you to be. And that really comes with trying to pray. So I would say that the real take-home thing is pray, 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 just pray. Just pray and keep praying and observe yourself in prayer. Pray and observe yourself in prayer and pray some more. That is the take-home. Pray, observe yourself in prayer, and pray some more. And have faith. Have faith in Christ who is walking with you, or climbing with you, actually, on the ladder.
I think that's a great place to stop.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, would you serve us?